Blog Talk Radio.
Each day I'll do
a golden deed
by helping those
who are in need.
My life on earth
is but a span
and so I'll do
the best I can
Life's evening sun
is sinking low.
A few more days
and I must go
to meet the deed
that I have done
where there will be
no setting sun
To be a child of God each day
my life must shine along the way
I'll sing his praise
while ages roll
and strive to help
some troubled soul
the only life that will endure is one that's kind and good and pure, and so for God
I'll take my stand.
Each day I'll lend a helping hand.
Life's evening sun
is sinking low.
A few more days and I must go
to meet the deed that I have done
where there will be
no setting sun.
That song by Jim Reeves is one of his classics entitled The Beautiful Life. Well, we all have a beautiful life in Christ Jesus. Let me welcome you to today's broadcast of Manna from Heaven. And as I look out my little studio window here, there are snowflakes still falling, even at 1:03 p.m. in the afternoon of January 17th, 2022. Manna from heaven, snowflakes from heaven. Well, let's open up our Bibles to Psalm 105, whatever translation you may have. And the outlines have already been sent out. If you are in need of outlines, just email me, the pastor, and I will make sure that the outlines are forwarded to you each and every Monday. We're on page one, and the title of our series is Seek the Lord and His Strength in 2022. Seek the Lord and His Strength in 2022. And our scripture verse for the week is Psalm 105, verse number 4. Let me read it to you. I have afforded you four translations, as is my custom to do every time I begin a Bible study, whether it's personal or preparing a sermon, a Bible study. I always go to the many different translations that I have, and I read the text in as many translations as possible. And I have four here for you. And the first one is from the King James, my favorite. It says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." From the Living Bible paraphrase, it reads, "Search for Him and for His strength, and keep on searching." The New Century Version reads, "Depend on the Lord and His strength. always go to him for help. And finally, the New Jerusalem Bible reads, seek Yahweh and his strength, tirelessly seek his presence. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for another day of life, another day of health, another day of being in our sound mind. How we thank you, Lord, for blessing us with such a good life, such a blessed life, such a spiritual life in Christ Jesus. And now, Lord, we pray, break bread for us and give us of your manna that we may be sustained during our spiritual pilgrimage, not with the words of man, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This we ask, this we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints, we're on a pilgrimage. We're on a journey. This leg of the journey, this part of our pilgrimage is called, and believe it or not, the year just started, and January is almost over. I mean, we're halfway through January. Can you imagine that? Today is the 17th of January, halfway through the month already, and we just got started. Well, I've been looking at this text, and the Lord has caused me to bring it to you this week, and I think it's so appropriate in lieu of the fact that we are placing so much emphasis on prayer. I want to keep emphasizing that the most important prayer service or the most important service of our weekly church service is prayer. Because when we pray, we're seeking God for that which we do not have, and for that we cannot provide. Let me look at the text again and let's break it down again. Let's look at it in the King James Version. It says, seek the Lord. Well, to seek God means to pray to God. Then it says, and his strength. Why do we need his strength? Because we are devoid of the kind of power necessary to produce results. So again, let me go back. We're seeking the Lord. How do we seek the Lord? Well, we seek the Lord in prayer. We seek the Lord when we humble ourselves, when we get on our knees, when we bow our heads, when we turn our hearts towards heaven. That's how we seek the Lord. And not only are we seeking his person, not only are we seeking an audience with God, but we're seeking for power. We need power. Why? Because we are battling the forces of darkness. We are trying to accomplish things for God that can only be spiritually accomplished with his spiritual power. Seek his strength. And then it goes on to say, and seek his face evermore. Why? Because if we want to sustain the results that we have achieved in God, if we want to keep them up, we have to continually seek his face evermore. So we're seeking God in prayer. We're seeking him for divine power to accomplish all that he's called us to do. And we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And in order to sustain that success, in order to sustain that string of victories that God will give us, we need to seek his face evermore. The moment you turn off the tap, the water starts coming through the pipe, stops coming through the pipe. The moment we stop turning to the Lord, the power is cut off. Because it's like daily manna. You have to come on the broadcast each day to get more. You're turning to the broadcast to get more of God's word. Well, we're turning to God because we want more of his strength. And that's basically where we're going this week. Now, don't forget, tomorrow night is our prayer service again. We're turning to God because we need power. We need his guidance. We need his wisdom. We need God's intervention. We need for God to show up. We need for God to show us what to do and how to do it. Yes, we need God. We need what they call a divine visitation. We desperately need it. So in this psalm, we are given an imperative. An imperative is something that we are being exhorted to do. What is it that we're being exhorted to do? To seek the Lord. And not just seek the Lord one time, but to seek him for his strength and to continue to seek him so that that strength can be constant in the church's life and experience. So we need to do this. Why? Because we're starting 2022, and God has great plans for Grace Christian Church, but we can't run ahead of the Lord. We can't run ahead of God. We have to run to God, and then we have to ask him to lead us and to show us the way. So this is the text that we're going to be dealing with for the next 5 days. We're going to break it down. We're going to look at it from different points of view as the text unfolds to see what God is encouraging us to do. But today we want to begin with the introduction. So I'm going to give you today just a basic summary, a little synopsis, and give you the divisions of Psalm 105. Now, this synopsis comes to us by way of a commentary on the book of Psalms by two Hebrew scholars. So here is the synopsis. Let me read it to you. The psalm begins with a call to the people to praise God for his wondrous deeds. And let's read Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye all of his wondrous works. In verse 5, it says, remember his marvelous works that he have done, the wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. So, again, the psalm begins with a call to the people. What people? The people of God, like you and me, to praise God for his wondrous deeds. These deeds are described in a retrospective of Israel's history, beginning with the covenant with Abraham and extending to the conquest of Canaan. Now, that's important because the covenant that God made with Abraham starts at Genesis 12, and the conquest of Canaan ends in Joshua 24. So it is a retelling, if you will. It is a summary, a synopsis, if you will, of what God did for his ancient people, beginning with their founding father Abraham and terminating and ending with Joshua the conqueror. It goes on to say, it is clear that the intent of the psalmist is to demonstrate how the hand of God directs history. Now, this is important, and I put it here in bold. It's not in bold in the commentary, but I put it here in bold because, again, I think that this is something that we need to bear in mind. It is clear that the intent of the psalmist is to demonstrate how the hand of God directs history. Now, let's put it this way. Or let me ask you two questions. One is, can you clearly see the hand of God in your life? Looking back at your life, Can you tell me, can you testify before the church? Could you stand up and tell the saints, hey, at this point in my life, I needed God to show up and he showed up. At this other point, I needed God to show up and he showed up. At this other point, I needed God to show up and he showed up. He's never failed me. He's always showed up. Can the same be said for Grace Christian Church? Can the saints at Grace Christian Church look back 30 years and say, hey, we were in a bind, but God showed up. 25 years ago, we were in a bind, and God showed up. 20 years ago, we were in trouble, and God showed up. And ever since then, God, whenever we were in trouble, we can see God showing up mysteriously, invisibly. Things turned out for the good of the church because God's hand was directing history. It's important to bear in mind that the hand of God directs your personal history and directs the history of the church. He, says Paul in Philippians, he that began the good work in you will complete it. God does not leave us half made. No, God always takes his people over the finish line, and we can always see his hand directly involved in our personal lives and in the life of the church we love. Now, this is how this psalm breaks up. There are five in verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. It says in verse 5, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. The key word of this psalm, of Psalm 105, is remember. The psalmist wants you to remember that if God did it in the past, he will do it again in the future because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the topics have to do with the theme remember. And of course, there are eight divisions here. There are eight little sections in the psalm. Section 1 begins with a call to praise, to make known and remember God our Savior. This you find in Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6. Then we're told that God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And since God remembered his covenant with the patriarchs of old, Israel was taken care of. Then in the third division, we are told, remember how God guided and protected the patriarchs. Which patriarchs? The major patriarchs. There are major patriarchs and there are minor patriarchs. The major patriarchs are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is why when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are the major patriarchs. Then there are the minor patriarchs, beginning with Joseph and his brethren. So, division number 3 is remember, as you read the psalm, the psalmist wants you to remember how God guided and protected the patriarchs of old, the founding fathers of the nation, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then the psalmist leads us historically. This is a historical account. Everything in its chronological order. First, God remembers his covenant with Abraham. Then he guides and protects Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now following them comes Joseph. And the psalmist wants us to remember how God guided, protected, and also exalted Joseph and made him prime minister of Egypt. And he wasn't even an Egyptian. Imagine that. Imagine how powerful God is that you don't even belong to a country and you become the second in command of that country. Only God can do something like that. So remember how God guided, protected, and exalted Joseph, the son of Jacob. division number 5. Remember how God delivered his people out of Egypt. And all the scriptures are there. All the verses are there. Then division number 6. Remember how God provided for and preserved his people in their 40 years of wilderness wanderings. Now, some scholars would argue that there was about 3 million or 2.5 to 3 million people in the wilderness that God fed every day. He not only did he feed them, he watered them. He provided the water. He provided everything for them, shelter and clothes and food and water and, I mean, air conditioning and heat at night through the pillar of fire. I mean, God just provided for 3 million people in the wilderness for 40 years. Remember, says the psalmist, how God did that. We are so quick to forget these important historical facts and truths. You see the theme here? The theme is remember. Remember what? Well, God guided and protected his people. He guided and exalted his people. He guided and provided and preserved his people. Well, what is the psalmist saying? Well, if he did it for them, he'll do it for us. That's the message. And that's why it's so important to remember. Okay. Division number 7. Remember how God gave the land of Canaan to his people. The land of Canaan at the time before Joshua went in was inhabited by giants and people of military expertise and fortified cities. And yet with all of that behind them, with all of their military experience and their defense cities and their weaponry and all that, the children of Israel went in there, marched in there, and took the land from them. Why? Because God was with his people. So let the enemy be well armed. Let the enemy be well schooled. Let the enemy be well prepared. It makes no difference. When God decides to give his people something, they will conquer it. And then finally, division number 8. God's people must remember their obligations to God, which are outlined in verse 45. Here's our obligations to the Lord, that we might observe his statutes. And in addition to those, that we might keep his laws. And in addition to that, that we might praise the Lord. So we have to keep his word to the letter, and we have to worship him. So we have to study, and we have to worship the Lord. That's our obligation to God. This is what we must remember to do. So again, there's 8 parts to this psalm. We're only going to be looking at the verse in section or division 1, which is where we're called to praise and make known and remember God our Savior, Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6. But we're looking at verse number 4 specifically. So as we conclude, why remember? And I went here to James Lindbergh's wonderful commentary on Psalms, and this is what Lindbergh had to say about why remember. Why remember? In our own time, remembering the past is hardly as popular as envisioning the future. You know, when you go to most seminars today, most leadership seminars, training seminars, they're always telling you or encouraging you to have a 5-year plan of the future, a 10-year plan of the future, a 15, 20-year plan of the future. They never tell you to look back. Well, the Bible tells us, look back. Look back in the church's history and remind yourself that if God did it for them, he will do it for us today. So why remember in our own time, in this present age, in 2020, little emphasis is put on remembering, and most of the emphasis, the major emphasis, is put on envisioning the future. Yet Psalm 105 suggests that such remembering is an essential part of the biblical faith. And yes, indeed it is. You know, if that weren't the case, why would God give us the Old Testament? Think about it. Think about it logically. If the life of Abraham or the recounting of the history of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Daniel and Samuel and Samson and Deborah and Hannah, if none of that was to benefit us today, then why would God give us the Old Testament? Why not just give us the New Testament? In fact, don't even give us the New Testament, because if the past is no good, why would we care what God did for the early church? But you see, saints, the past is a record that God spoke things, promised things, decreed things for his people, and how God kept his word every time. It is a record that the God that we serve is a covenant-keeping God who has never failed a single generation. So this is why Psalm 105 suggests that such remembering is an essential part of the biblical faith. This is why we have Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 tells us about the heroes of the faith and what God did with them as kind of a pledge to let us know that if we would dare to believe him for great things, he would do the same for us. The quote goes on to say this: a person with amnesia who has forgotten the past will have a difficult time knowing who he or she is or what he or she is to be about. It is possible for a people, even a congregation, to have amnesia and forget who they are and why they exist. My brothers and sisters, we can't forget who we are. We are the blood-bought, spirit-sealed saints of God. Why do we exist? To proclaim throughout the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. We exist to be salt of the earth. We exist to be light to the world. We exist to be the church, the pillar and the standard and the bulwark of truth. We're here to point people to God, who otherwise would not know of God unless there would be a church who testifies, who remembers what God has done, and then does what it says here in Psalm 105, which is to declare to the nations his wondrous works. We're here to declare who God is. So I want to encourage you to read all of Psalm 105 today. When you're reading it, have page number 2 here beside you so that you can see the different divisions. There are 8 divisions, as I said before. And when you read, just read the division first and then see if it matches up with what's here in the outline, and I'm pretty sure you will find it, that it all agrees and that it lines up, and that pretty much you can understand what the psalm is all about. Now, I'm looking forward to meeting with you tomorrow, because as of tomorrow, we start breaking down verse number 4. Let me encourage you, dear saints of God, to tell other people about the broadcast. Tell other people how they can get, show them how they can get onto the broadcast. Also, tell them how they can get the outlines. Word. You may have coworkers who go to church, but who need an extra word, who need a devotional text every day. Point them to manna from heaven. Also, don't forget that tomorrow at 7:30 p.m., Tuesday, January 18th, is our prayer service. I'm expecting all of our people to be on the line tomorrow as we go before the Lord, as we seek the Lord, seek his strength, seek his face evermore. Well, saints, that does it for today. And like I said, looking forward to meeting with you and going over this verse. It's going to bless you. It's going to encourage you. And it's going to strengthen you to get back to praying. I want to conclude today's broadcast with the song, Daniel Prayed. God bless you.
For the king's decree, but trusted God to set him free.
Oh, Daniel,
pray every morning, noon and night.
Oh, Daniel, serve a living God while here upon this earth he trod.
He prayed
to God every morning, noon and night.
He cannot fall asleep or fail, but trusted one who never fails.
Oh, Daniel,
pray every morning, noon and night.
But trusted one who never fails.
Oh, Daniel,
pray every morning, noon and night.